From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm Jenna Gibson. Over the last few weeks, the news has been covering North Korea constantly, especially after they held a major parade showing off some new military hardware and launched another failed missile test. Meanwhile, the Trump administration has ratcheted up their rhetoric against Pyongyang, insisting that everything is on the table when it comes to dealing with the DPRK. At the same time, here at KEI, we recently hosted what turned out to be a particularly timely event called Are Sanctions Against North Korea Working?, which brought together experts from the U.S., Russia, China, and South Korea to talk about the effectiveness of sanctions and also to look forward on how to deal with an increasingly provocative DPRK. One of the great panelists from the event was Kim Jung-ho, a researcher at the Export-Import Bank of Korea. He agreed to sit down with me after the event to discuss the South Korean perspective towards North Korea's sanctions, especially as we look ahead to a new administration in Seoul. Please enjoy. So I want to thank you, Dr. Kim, for taking the time to not only come here and speak at KEI, write the paper, but also putting aside some time to speak with me here on the podcast.
Thank you for welcoming me to the KEI, and it is my honor to be with you.
Can you start off by introducing yourself and then talk a little bit about the paper that you're writing for KEI?
I am researching at the Export-Import Bank of Korea with a focus on financial strategy making to handle North Korean changes and development assistance to Northeast Asia and economic cooperation in the future. And I have been tackling the issues of financing inner Korean cooperation for the time being, because my bank has been entrusted with a particular government fund, which is called the Inter-Korean Cooperation Fund. So that is our interest to support South Korean civil society and NGOs and government departments to work on North Korean issues.
So I found this really interesting. You start your paper with the quote, "There is no way to hurt the regime of the DPRK without hurting its people, and there's no way to support the people of the DPRK without supporting its regime." So this is a big question for policymakers. It's a big question for anyone who cares about North Korea and who wants to create change, but without hurting the people who are already in a pretty desperate situation. So what are some of your suggestions for dealing with this dilemma, and how do you solve the problem that you laid out here in your paper?
Our policy direction may depend on our analogies of North Korea. If it is analogous to a criminal, our approach will be quite different, and it'll be very tough. And the policy focus will be punishing the criminal, that is North Korea, for its bad behavior. If it is analogous to a patient, doctors get together to find good treatments, treatment for the patient, and a variety of treatments will be discussed and they will be applied individually at different stages or at the same time in order to get the desired result of North Korean changes. Nonetheless, this kind of analogy can be useful and meaningful in understanding the North Korean situation. Policymakers still have a big dilemma in choosing the policy options. But hurting the regime and hurting the people should be distinguished, and the side effects cannot be avoided. So policymakers must have a long-term vision as well as a short-term vision.
So in your paper, you also say that now is the right time for so-called smart sanctions, these more targeted sanctions, to really have an impact, if done correctly, of course. Why is now the right time, in your opinion?
For the time being, North Korea has shown the nuclear ambition by doing meaningful gestures of developing weapons. Well, the outsiders could sanction North Korea with general sanctions measures, and they just waited how North Korea would respond. But as North Korea declared and outsiders watched, North Korea seems to have reached the final stage of weapons of mass destruction. And if the sanctions measures are very broad and general and are not focused properly, the world will not harvest the desired results in the end. And then we lose the time and North Korea will reach the final stage. So a smart sanction is a target sanction focusing on a particular area where North Korea may feel painful. So smart sanctions should be delicately designed so North Korea can feel outside impact and respond properly towards the more desirable the situation.
Do you have any examples of a place where this would be a good place to target for those smart sanctions?
A few years ago, financial sanctions were regarded as a good example of a smart sanctions. But unfortunately, North Korea stopped using the financial system domestically and internationally. So the financial sanctions were not that effective. Nowadays, in connection with the issues of human rights, the smart sanctions may focus on the sensitive aspect of human rights because the Kim Jong-un regime finds its legitimacy on three-generation power inheritance. They are afraid of talking about the regime legitimacy in the market and in the open space with the people. And human rights abuses have been ignored in North Korea. But the smart sanctions will bring more attention to those issues and people will recognize the reality and the regime will be more nervous or sensitive to that kind of recognition.
So although we don't know for sure who's going to be the next president in South Korea, it's highly likely that they'll come from the progressive side. So this will be quite a change from the last 10 years of more conservative governments in Seoul. How big of a change do you think a new administration in Seoul, a new progressive administration, will bring for the ROK's policy towards the DPRK?
During the presidential election campaign, every presidential candidate should be political in dealing with major issues, such as North Korean nuclear issues. But once they come to office, they will be realistic and they will try to find realistic policy options. And they will realize that their options are very limited. Many people tend to believe that the progressive administration will repeat what was done in the past. The so-called Sunshine Policy may be introduced again. But we need to understand that the current situation that is much different from the political conditions of the 1990s and early 2000s. The U.S. and Japan have increased the level of pressure over North Korea, and South Korea cannot resist as much as South Korea wants. So South Korea needs to stand together with other countries for universal values and universal cause. And the progressive government will have to calculate in a complicated way by focusing on the changes of major powers' interests. For example, Trump administration has a different taste for foreign relations, and the Xi Jinping regime has a different idea of future relations. So South Korea cannot ignore those external factors. So internal politics must be internationalized for next administration. So in that sense, it will not be a big change. Of course, policy direction will change, but they will be agonizing on how much they can change.
One major move last year was the closing of the Kaesong Industrial Complex in North Korea. And people were saying that this was a big deal, not only the fact that it was built in the first place, but then the closing of it because of the fact that this was the major cooperation point, at least on the economic side, between North and South Korea, and this was cutting off that tie entirely. Do you see any possibility to either restart Kaesong or some other project similar to it on the economic cooperation side? And if so, would it even be a good idea to do so?
The Kaesong Industrial Complex was closed last year, immediately after North Korea's forced nuclear test. That means any kind of inter-Korean economic cooperation is very fragile to political risk. Even if a progressive government is launched next month, the redemption of the Kaesong Industrial Complex will be much limited by political and economic conditions. Economic settings change, and the North Korean economic interests also change. And North Korea-China economic cooperation has much satisfied the North Korean side instead of inner Korean cooperation. And Kaesong Industrial Complex may be a good case of inner Korean cooperation and reconciliation, but it is a part of the history. And if that kind of a project is pursued in the future, if the previous one is called 1.0, the next one should not be 2.0. It must be 10.0. I mean, the next inter-Korean economic cooperation must be upgraded, far upgraded with international standards. If not, the South Korean efforts to pursue that kind of a project with North Korea will face much resistance from other surrounding actors.
If I can ask you a quick follow-up to that, one of the concerns at the time when they announced that Kaesong was going to be closed was that this more or less meant that all of North Korea's trade was going to be with China, more or less. You know, there's some Russia, some other countries, and especially overseas laborers, they're getting some money there. But in terms of the economic side, does it matter that they're, you know, more or less reliant on China? Does having some more reliance on money coming in from South Korea, is that helpful in terms of, you know, changing policy or helping move forward with the North Korea issue?
Not exactly the same case, but we've already experienced how North Korean regime took advantage of South Korea's good intention to work together in the Korean Peninsula. The North Korean regime desires for more money inflow for sustaining the country. But unless political issues unclear, properly, timely, any kind of economic interactions will not bring meaningful senses to not only South Korea, but also other countries observing. So North Korea is isolated now, and North Korea has no other ways but to depend on the Chinese market. In the sense, North Korea may be interested in alternatives to economic interaction with China only. There, we have a kind of a hope for further cooperation with North Korea in the future in a positive way.
Great. Well, it's a really interesting paper. I highly suggest that people take a look at it once it's out and part of our compilation of all these interesting papers about North Korea and about sanctions. But before we go, is there anything else that you think our listeners should know or anything to watch out for in the coming months?
I didn't include one issue in my paper. That is a Japan factor. For the time being, Japan has been put aside when we talk about North Korea sanctions. The U.S. and South Korea or China were regarded as the main actors. But nowadays, Japan is arising as another influential factor. In order to make sanctions against North Korea more effective, Japan must be utilized in a positive way for further cooperation, not only among those allies, but also among the regional countries. So Japan can be a kind of the bridge role if it is well guided and designed with a principle. The sanctions bring about sources of a conflict between regional countries, South Korea and China, and South Korea and U.S., and South Korea, Japan, Japan and China. Well, in the sense that sanctions will not be helpful for keeping regional order and peace, but it is a transitional phenomenon, and sanctions must be utilized in order to bring out agreement from the concerned parties, and it will help those regional countries find common interests in the end.
Okay, great. I like that ending. I like a little bit of the hopeful look towards cooperation a little bit there at the end. So thank you for that. And thank you for, again, taking your time to sit down and talk with me about your paper and about these really important issues dealing with North Korea.
Thank you for this good opportunity.
Thanks, everyone, once again, for joining me on Korean Context. If you're curious about the panel that I mentioned earlier, we have the full video available online, and there are also papers associated with the panel, and those will all be on our website, www.keia.org. I want to thank you again for joining me here on Korean Context, and we'll have a new episode for you next week.